covering his medical costs, even though he'd been a great employee for years. Dale was able to walk with his wife and run with his kids yesterday because something happened. That something was Scott Ogle, attorney at law. He saw to it that Dale received his medical care, and today, his legs and his life are complete again. Scott Ogle, 442-8833, 442-8833.
Minor repairs to major renovations. Get advice on it all from House Calls. Sunday mornings at 11 on KLBJ. Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And once you get up to William Henry's website, you can't find it. Very easy. It's on coasttocoastam.com's website. Already linked up. Take a look at some of the things he has done, the many, many books he has written. Pay close attention to the artwork, by the way, on some of his books. You'll find them to be very, very pretty artwork tied right into his topics. We'll have more in a moment on Coast to Coast. Here's a very interesting fact for you. The average American adult listens to more than 1,000 hours of radio a year. Think of it now. That's just the average. And many of you listen to 2,000 or 3,000 hours of radio each year. That's good, because radio is fun. Radio listeners are smarter, better informed, which brings me to this question. Are you happy with your radio? Well, the people who own a CC radio are very happy. Why? Well, they get great AM reception. They get clear sound, quality construction, backed by a company that knows the pleasure that you receive from listening to the radio. Now, the CC radio is priced at $159.95. That might seem like a lot of money to some of you, but if you're going to spend thousands of hours listening to the radio, why don't you own the best and enjoy it yourself? Now, here's some news that you need to know. The price of the CC radio is going to go up, so this is your last chance to get the CC radio at $159.95. I don't know how high it will go, but you better take advantage of this. $159.95, and that price includes free U.S. ground shipping. Call the Sea Crane Company tomorrow at 1-800-522-8863. The number again for the CC radio, or that free Sea Crane catalog, 800-522-8863, or go to the web at ccradio.com.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with William Henry. Gosh, you know, I looked up at the clock and I'm saying, William, that there's so much I want to cover with you tonight, and this clock is going by faster and faster. It's almost like I'm in my own Stargate sometimes.
Right, yeah. I used to, I love these stories about, like, Joe Montana. He used to say that when he was in the middle of a big game and there was a, you know, big play, that he had the ability to slow time down.
Yes.
That he could watch the spiral of the football, and it gave him that extra advantage. And I was like, how do you do that? Ted Williams supposedly had the same ability.
Yep. Gordie Howe, too, with a hockey puck. Same thing.
Oh, I didn't know that about Gordie Howe. Wow.
And I bet Mickey Mantle could have done it with a baseball pitch.
I am, pretty sure. Mickey Mantle is one of my favorites.
And William Henry probably does the same thing when he's on an expedition.
Well, that and, the closest I've ever come to, and this isn't to toot my own horn, but, when you get stories and you just lock onto it, you do lose track of time and space. It is like venturing into another world, an alternate reality, if you will, and that's just really cool to me.
How many years have you been doing this now?
Well, I started researching when I was in college, so that was 22 years ago. And I've been writing professionally and lecturing. My first real professional lecture was the Sitchin Study Days in Denver in 1996. They gathered Dr. John Lilly and some other folks, Zachariah and others, for a major Zachariah Sitchin conference in Denver, and I was invited to participate in that.
Let's spend a little time talking about Planet X, William.
Sure.
I had Nancy Leader on a few weeks ago, and she has pushed her date back, her May 15th date. She's pushed it back now to June 1st.
Oh.
As you know, Michael Heiser was on the program. Michael does a good job. Michael does not believe in Planet X.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doesn't believe that's coming around on May 15th, at least.
Right. I don't either, and I'm glad you brought up Mike Heiser, because as you recall, the last time he was on Coast, he challenged Zachariah Sitchin to a debate about Planet X and Nibiru.
And as you know, Zachariah cannot stay up late anymore, because I've asked him several times to come on the show,
mm-hmm.
and it is just not going to happen. So let's get your take on your views on Planet X. So you don't believe that it's going to roll in here in the next few weeks?
No, I do not. And in fact, when this business first started last year, maybe a year and a half ago, let's call it 14, 15 months ago, I got an email out of the blue from someone that said, Planet X is coming in May. Go ahead, run up your charge cards because you won't have to pay them. And I put my foot down and got to work, and I wrote a book called Ark of the Christos, Mythology, Symbolism, and Prophecy of the Return of Planet X in the Age of Terror. As in response to that, because my concern was, here's another Heaven's Gate. Here's a group of people that are misreading and miscalculating here and just taking people down a path that could ultimately lead to their personal destruction.
Sure. Panic, too, maybe?
Yeah. And it's like, stop this. Okay.
Well, I had a story on today. Some Japanese people.
I heard it.
They're convinced that May 15th, that's it. It's turkey time. Close out the lights and it's all done.
Right. I also had a book that I wrote a while back about different cults, including the Japanese cult that believe many of these apocalyptic things. And this is the basis for it. And it extends into politics, too. And this is the basis of some of my other works and researches. I'm concerned about when people allow their religious and other beliefs to influence politics, and also where they start persuading people that such and such and so is true. And ultimately, it leads them into their demise. It, just really flips me out.
You have, and I can tell in your voice, a passion for what you do.
Oh, I do, yeah. I mean, it's not just a job. It's my life. It's who I am. And I take it very seriously. I totally enjoy what I do, just like I can tell you do, too.
Yes.
And it's just what I love to do. I would be doing this even if I wasn't doing this for a living.
Okay, but if Planet X is not going to come around on the 15th, and I subscribe to your thoughts, and Heiser's, in that it's not going to come around on the 15th. We would have seen it by now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some strange things going on, William. I mean, look at the weather. Look at the tornadoes. Look at Virginia today had an earthquake. My God. And yes, they've had them before, but, the big one they had was in 1875. It just seems to be a very cyclical, strange time right now.
Right. I'm convinced, of course, that, and we've talked about this before, I've written many articles about it, that our activity in Iraq was a full-scale perimeter lockdown of that area. And it's directly related to the ancient past in Iraq, which includes the mythology and symbolism of what we know of as Planet X and of the beings that resided there called Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that buried 20 feet beneath the sands of Baghdad and all of Iraq are the Stargate secrets of the Anunnaki. And that is why we had to wipe down that country and seize control of it, which is what we've done. And now we're going about educating people about ancient Iraq. We're talking about the museum. We're talking about its glorious ancient past and that the key to Iraq's future is in its past. And all of these, I feel, are a part of psychological warfare.
Well, you know, if you believe in the Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they have their own agenda, then some of the theories that you're throwing out right now seem pretty darn possible.
Right.
You know, I happen to believe that there were other reasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him out, definitely. They wanted to, you know, this guy was paying terrorists to blow themselves up, for mm-hmm. example, in there. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He was a butcher. He had to go.
Right.
In so doing, you also get control of your oil fields,
right.
which in the long run is going to help every American here. But also there is that underlining tone of what's really in that country. And if,
right.
and if you believe in those Sumerian texts, then you've got to say to yourselves, there are some hidden secrets here somewhere. Now,
right.
you talk about them being deep in the sands. I mean, up until a few weeks ago, then they find this tomb of Gilgamesh that buried deep under the sands. And then you go, my gosh, what else is down there?
Exactly. I mean, what we're looking at here, a little bit of backstory here, this isn't new. Our invasion of Iraq is nothing new. Britain and America went into Iraq in the 1840s and 1850s. British and American scholars, people from the University of Pennsylvania, from Yale, Johns Hopkins, University of Chicago, from the 1840s to the early 1900s, some of them backed by John D. Rockefeller, went into Iraq in pursuit of the proof that the Bible was true. And they were over there looking in the Iraqi temples to prove the Bible was there, and they came back with evidence that seemed to link these temples with Ezekiel. They found the city of Nineveh. They found other evidence that suggests that the Bible is actually true. At the same time, you had German doctors, scholars, who were in the very same sands and the very same temples, who were there to prove that not that the Bible was true, but that the German folk tales of Atlantis
uh-huh.
were true. And so you had this convergence on this country to dig up the relics, to dig up the artifacts, and it caused sensations worldwide when these artifacts started showing up in England and Germany and in New York. And so what we're seeing here...
And they're still there, aren't they?
Yes, they are still there.
Yeah.
And in fact, I heard the other day that there's as many as 25,000 undeciphered Sumerian tablets, cuneiform tablets, still crated up in the basement of the British Museum.
Oh, my.
Now, what might conceivably yeah. be in those tablets?
Do you think that those artifacts should be given back to the country of origin?
I absolutely think that tomorrow they need to start calling FedEx and start loading up planes and shipping that stuff back, because they looted those temples and they've taken that legacy. Now, they helped preserve it. They brought some educational awareness. But as we know, you know, academia isn't always, shall we say, forthcoming.
No, that's true.
They're going to find something, and if it doesn't fit their persuasion, it's not going to reach the mass mind.
They will literally bury it again, won't they?
Exactly. And I'm convinced that that has happened in the case of the history of ancient Sumeria.
Gosh, you know, William, if I could turn back time and go back 5,000 years, for example, and witness what might have been happening, what a story we could come back today and tell. Yet you have those tablets, which may be a blueprint for what happened. Now, others interpret it different ways. Mike Heiser interprets it his way, Zachariah Sitchin his way,
yep.
you your way. How do we know who's right and who's wrong?
Well, let me just insert this. You know, Heiser challenged me to a debate on his website. He said I raped the Bible in saying that it has anything to do with extraterrestrial stargates or anything like this. But yet in his own words on your show, he says that Nibiru, according to the Sumerian dictionaries, literally translated means crossing and gateway. It also means star. So I asked the simple question, could it be a star gateway? And Heiser's response is, one, you're wasting my time and me having to respond to you, even though he challenged me to a debate.
You guys have been going at it on your websites?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not exactly going at it. You know, he comes riding in, waving his credentials, and I got to tell you, I don't have credentials.
That's cool. But I like you both. You know
that. I like him, too. But you know what he says is that he makes a statement that every human alive today only knows what we know about the ancients because they wrote something down.
What's that referee for all those professional fights? What's his name? Miles something? He was always in those Muhammad Ali fights, the guy with a bald head. Well, I don't have the bald head, but I sometimes feel that way.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, though, George. You know, it's simply a lie that we know only about history because people wrote something down. I mean, that is simply not true at all. There's a wonderful and illustrious oral and symbolic tradition that parallels history. And the reason these people don't write history down is because very often it's the dark priests that want to see those that know the real history of humanity persecuted.
Well, let me ask you a geological question.
Sure.
If you're living 5,000 years from now, and you know, what happens to you whereby your city then gets buried under tens and tens and tens of feet of sand? I mean, because I would assume if you were there all the time, even if it were over 1,000 years or 2,000 years, you know, you would just literally keep the place in order. For example, you know, I don't think New York will be under 1,000 feet of sand as long as people continue to exist there. Mm-hmm. So did something happen to these people? Just leave the areas they were in, and then all of a sudden it just got covered up by sand over the years?
Yeah, I asked the same question, too. I mean, isn't that interesting? Here they find these digs, and how does this stuff just stay where it stays?
Yeah, I mean, how did it happen, and where did the people go?
They're conquered, they're killed off, and time moves on. And so then, as you say, the city, the village, whatever it is, just simply gets buried underneath the sands of time, literally.
No, that's probably what happened then.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to be, and people abandon those areas and they go to other places. Or maybe even in those days, they looted those places.
Very often they did, absolutely. But when you find examples of like Troy, a lot of the scholars said, oh, Troy doesn't exist. But Schliemann, operating off of mythology, actually found the city of Troy. And so what it takes in many of these instances is just someone who's willing to take a few risks and actually seek this stuff out. Sometimes you hit pay dirt, sometimes you don't.
Well, let me corner you for a moment. Planet X, do you think it's a comet, an asteroid, a stargate, a star? What do you think it might be?
I've been, over the years, as I say in my books, I don't agree with Sitchin on everything he says. Certainly, I don't take his word as gospel.
All right.
I'll give you an example before I answer your other question. I mean, Sitchin had maintained that the Anunnaki came here to mine gold to repair the decaying atmosphere of their homeworld.
Right.
And they created the human body as a slave vehicle in order to lift that gold out of the ground.
Now, how did he get that story?
Well, he got that out of the Sumerian text.
All right.
But what I did, I didn't come out and say, well, I think Sitchin's dead wrong with that and anything like that. I looked at that and said, well, wait a minute. You know, in the parallel oral tradition, the mystery school tradition, which included the alchemist, gold and soul, the human soul, are interchangeable.
Right.
So is it possible that they weren't here to create the human body as a vehicle to mine gold? Let's say our human body was manufactured or created by whoever our maker actually was as a vehicle through which our soul can ascend the ladder, our spinal cord system and our mystic anatomy, to heaven. Now, that said, what is this particular design useful for? Why are we bipedal? Why not make ourselves have, you know, four or five legs? I mean, why do we have just this particular body design that our souls inhabit?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer is, well, when you look at the stories, at the same time that they're designing the human body, they're also talking about coming through gateways, which
right.
is, by the very definition, Nibiru appears to be a star, a gate, and a bridge. So my answer to your question is, I believe Nibiru is a stargate. If it's not the actual stargate itself, the Anunnaki were bridge builders or construction engineers of the model of the Maya, who were building bridges between Earth and the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
Exactly. You know, because when you think of a bridge, it's not necessarily a physical structure.
Precisely. We're talking about a star bridge, if you will. And the human body was designed as a vehicle through which the soul can enter and travel that dimensional gateway, that star gate. And that, I believe, is what Nibiru is.
Now, do you think it comes around every 3,600 years, or is it always here somewhere?
Well, again, you know, going back to what Mike Heiser said during your interview and in his papers, which I thought was most interesting, they talk about, and this is my interpretation of it, they talk about Nibiru. They can't decide if Nibiru is the planet Mercury, or maybe it's Jupiter, maybe it's Mars. It appears to move. Now, this can be explained by precession or some other astronomical explanation, mm-hmm. but I ask, is it possible with what we know about what's happened on Mars vis-a-vis Richard Hoagland and other researchers?
Sure.
Is it possible that Nibiru is or was Mars? And Mars was at one time a stargate. But now that technology, after a terrible cataclysm on Mars, when Mars at one time meant soil, in other words, it was a green and verdant planet. Suddenly it became a planet that was devoid of life. Is it possible the Anunnaki picked up, moved their Stargate technology to Earth? And now Earth is the Nibiru, the Stargate.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
It's just I'm asking a question. I'm not saying that this is definitely so. I'm asking a question. And now what I have to do, that I've got myself out on a limb here, is come back to science and ask, is this possible? And I believe that it is possible.
I'll tell you the one thing that is probably for sure, and that is there's something out there in this universe, William, that all of you who are striving to find one day will find an answer to something. Because I do believe, whatever it is, there's something there that is very strange, very mystical. And
that's the key word, George, is mystical.
Yes.
You're talking from the right side of the brain. And there are those researchers that would this is what they do to me. Prove it. Show me in the tablets where it says it's mystical. The word mystical doesn't even appear in the Sumerian dictionary. Therefore, you can't use it when you're interpreting Sumerian text. And you know what I say to that? You're crazy.
Yeah.
You are nuts.
You have to go with your gut.
You have to go with the gut. If you're living on the logical left side and are not attempting to balance the mystical or spiritual, you're in trouble.
Hey, when we come back, I want to know about your France trip and what you're going to look for, okay?
Okay.
William Henry, my guest. Get up to his website, which is williamhenry.net. Already, if you're on coasttocoastam.com, just link right up there. It's easy for you. I'm George Norrie, back with more with investigative mythologist William Henry in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Stay tuned for Austin News on News Radio 590. KLBJ.
We love where we work, and we love what we do for you. Hi, I'm Jenny Covert at Covert Country, and when you buy your GM cars or Chevy trucks from the Coverts, we'll service it at our Austin location. That's right. We have three convenient service centers, including Austin, Hutto, and Bastrop, and no one in Central Texas has more GM-certified master technicians than the Coverts. That's the way you get the best of the best in customer service. Covert Country, the low-price champions. Highway 71 in Bastrop, or visit us on the web at covertbastrop.com. We'll be there.
There you are, you and your lady, gliding down the highway in your new Escapabilon SUV.
Gliding down the highway.
You hug the curves as your Escapabilon responds to your every touch. You ride in silky smooth Corinthian leather. Nothing can stop you now.
How are you doing today? Sir, I noticed you aren't wearing your safety belt.
My bad.
I'm going to have to write you a ticket.
Gonna have to ticket you.
And I'm gonna have to ticket the background singers in the car behind you for not wearing belts either.
Gonna have to find a new kid.
From May 19th through June 1st, there will be increased enforcement of seatbelt laws, so buckle up. Unbuckled drivers and passengers can be fined up to $200. We're serious about saving lives. Click it or ticket. Brought to you by the Texas Department of Transportation.
News Radio 590, KLBJ, Austin. What you need to know, depend on the only Austin radio station giving you local news on the hour and half hour. Now, here are Austin's top stories on News Radio 590, KLBJ.
Good morning, I'm Lane Ingram. The Texas legislature is considering redistricting voting areas throughout Texas, which has many people, including Travis County officials, up in arms. Details ahead on Austin's News Leader, News Radio 590 KLBJ Austin.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre. It's worse than a nightmare. The words of a Missouri resident whose grandparents were killed by one of the nearly 90 tornadoes that ripped through the Midwest and South Sunday and early Monday. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is in Jackson, Tennessee. He says that city's historic district was destroyed.
Fortunately, the tornado hit late Sunday night when the restaurants here were closed and the streets empty. Most of these businesses are insured, and in time, these apartments and stores will all be rebuilt. The real tragedy of this storm took place when the tornado touched down again just a few miles outside the city.
ABC's Mike Von Fremd. Just about every structure in Pierce City, Missouri was either damaged or destroyed. Weather Channel meteorologist Jim Cantori is there. He says the only really safe place to take shelter from a twister is underground.
These are the kind of storms that blow up, and literally in 40 minutes, they are spinning and they are causing destruction. And that's what we saw happen with this particular tornado outbreak.
The tornadoes killed at least 37 people. Several others are still missing. Some of the people now being held at the U.S. Naval Base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, will be leaving soon.
More than 600 prisoners are now being held in Gitmo. The dozen or so that will be moved out later this week are not being set free, but instead will be turned over to other governments to be held or placed on trial. Only about two dozen prisoners have been let go since the camp opened in January of 2002. Secretary of State Colin Powell has called on the Pentagon to step up the pace in determining the fate of those prisoners. Many have been held for more than a year and a half without access to a lawyer. Andrew Kremitas, ABC News, Washington.
Relatives have lined the pier of a U.S. naval base in Japan to welcome the USS Kitty Hawk. It's returning after 4 months supporting the Iraq War. You're listening to ABC News.
I love listening to radio so much, we started Sea Crane Company. Hi, this is Bob Crane, and if you love listening to radio, let me tell you about our brand new CC Radio Plus. The CC Radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clearer. And the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. And I personally guarantee that the CC Radio is the best radio you can own for news, information, and sports. You can learn more about the CC Radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC Radio and dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC Radio Plus is just $159.95, and that includes shipping. That number again.